one of the uglier aspects of human nature is some people love to beat up on those who cannot fight back for themselves. Politicians, the media, and the ignorant person down the street regularly destroy the dignity of Social Security disability recipients with cruel and uninformed words. They do so with no more thought than swatting a gnat. I'm Michael Wells, and this is Legal Fact and Fiction. Disability recipients are one of the most vulnerable groups. They lose their ability to work, their families, their homes, and their dignity. Mental illness afflicts them in the form of bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, depression, anxiety, PTSD, and other kinds of psychological trauma. They suffer from traumatic brain injuries and other cognitive deficits. Some family members sexually abuse them as children. An alarming number of them never complete past the 10th grade. On the opposite end of the spectrum are people with PhDs and other working professionals. Others have worked tough physical jobs for decades and have worn down their backs, their digestive system, have cancer, joint issues, and other physical pain. Some of them are soldiers from Iraq or Afghanistan with traumatic brain injuries or PTSD. In short, they are from every social strata and background. They are your friends, your neighbors, your former coworkers, and your family members. You would never know that, though, based on the lies peddled by the cruel and the uninformed. By the time these lies and inaccuracies ensconce themselves in the American psyche, the truth is drowned out by the noise. But someone needs to tell their side. Someone needs to tell the truth about Social Security disability claimants. I've practiced Social Security disability law for over 13 years. I've handled hundreds of Social Security disability cases. I win cases and lose cases. I represent people from all walks of life, but I've gravitated towards homeless clients and those in unstable housing. The abuse and degradation are difficult to describe or to understand. I've been both disgusted by humanity and inspired by people's abilities to survive and maintain some level of optimism. Lawyers who represent disability clients are mere interlopers in the disability claimant's world, and they walk with them for a very short time and not completely. For the most part, the claimants suffer by themselves, even when they have the support of loved ones. For years, I've wondered why no one tells their stories. No one puts forth the other side. People hear someone is on disability, and they draw conclusions, many of them negative. That isn't fair. None of this is fair. Legal Fact and Fiction will present the other side, the side of the claimant. The names are fictional. Details are changed for confidentiality purposes. But these accounts are authentic and a glimpse into this much maligned segment of our population. Jack. Jack started working at 14. He didn't finish high school, dropping out in the 11th grade. But he worked hard and made a good living for his wife and children. He did difficult jobs. Jobs many of us wouldn't do. He worked as a machine operator for most of his life and made batteries. He did it for almost 15 years until he was at age 45 when he couldn't work anymore. He'd spent the majority of his professional life doing this job. A few years before Jack stopped working, he started having what are called cluster headaches. Their cause isn't known, but they are often referred to as suicide headaches. They earned this name in 1939 when neurologist Baynard Taylor Horton wrote a paper with the following quote: "Our patients were disabled and suffered from bouts of pain from 2 to 20 times a week. They had no relief from the usual methods of treatment. Their pain was so severe that several of them had to be constantly watched for fear of suicide. Many of them were willing to submit to any operation which might bring relief." Jack was a machine operator, of course, and he worked at a battery plant, and he performed his job duties near a blast furnace that was used to make the batteries. He spent the day on his feet, to the point where he later ruptured two discs and had two back surgeries. He kept working, though. But the headaches started out like severe migraines. He didn't think that they were any more than that, but then they progressed. Yet Jack kept working. For those of you who've ever had migraines, you know how difficult those are. Imagine those to a power of 10, and that was what Jack felt like. Initially, doctors prescribed headache treatments of oral medication. Eventually, the medication stopped working, though. But Jack kept working. The only way to stop his headaches was an injection to one of his legs with a syringe. He kept the syringes in a small locker near his workstation. When he felt cluster headaches coming on, he would rush to the locker. Then he would fumble trying to unlock it, which wasn't an easy task because it had a combination, and sometimes he wasn't able to do it in time. And he would fall to the ground, writhing in pain, until his headache ended. If he was able to make it to his locker, unlock the lock, then he yanked down his pants and pulled out the syringe and stabbed himself in the leg in order to stop the headache. Sometimes he did this twice a day. Eventually he developed an immunity to the medication, though. And the only cure, the only thing that could stop the pain, because there really was no cure, was an oxygen tank. He would have to breathe in the oxygen in order to stop the headache. But since oxygen is highly flammable, he couldn't work anymore doing the job that he knew. And because he had done this job for so long and didn't have a high school education, he didn't have the skills to be able to do any other job. Plus, his physical impairments, his back problem, and other issues kept him from doing any type of job. So in spite of being in his mid-40s, there was nothing else that he could do. 5 months after he was forced to quit working, he had a stroke. Then he had another one 9 months later. It's unclear whether or not the stroke was in any way related to the cluster headaches, but odds are the problems that he was having in his brain that caused the cluster headaches were likely related to the strokes that he had. Jack was a strong man with broad shoulders. He had big hands, a firm handshake, and he loved his family. He greeted me each time I saw him with a deep, friendly voice. At the hearing, we presented Jack's case in front of an administrative law judge. Jack testified very powerfully. During a part of his testimony, Jack openly wept as he said to the judge, "I want to work. It is who I am. It is all I know." Eventually, Jack did win his Social Security disability case, but he lives in constant pain. His pain is so severe, he often beats his head against the wall. He considers suicide on a regular basis. In fact, his wife is afraid to leave him alone at any time because she is worried that he will kill himself. And for all of this, for all the years of struggle, it took almost 3 years to get disability, for all the degradation, the having to go through numerous evaluations, provide his personal medical information, all that Jack receives is a paltry $1,100 a month. That's below the national average for poverty. He's below the poverty line. Sadly, Jack's situation is not unlike other Social Security disability claimants' situations. Many of them fight for years to receive their benefits, and sometimes those benefits are only $700 or $800 a month. Many of them die before they can receive their benefits. I've had an alarming number of Social Security disability clients pass away recently. I've had clients that have committed suicide. It is a very sad situation. It is not an enviable position to be in. But there are many stories like this. And what this podcast is going to do is to try to tell these stories, to talk about the people that are behind these cases in an effort to educate people about the process and to present the other side. Because, as was mentioned before, so often people are unfairly maligned. The show is going to be broadcast every other week, one time every other week. And if you've enjoyed the show, I would ask that you please rate us on iTunes, leave your comments, and if you are interested in more information about the podcast, we have a website, and the name of the podcast is Legal Fact and Fiction again, and the website is www.legalfnf.com. So again, this is Michael Wells. Thank you for listening to Legal Fact and Fiction, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.